Appreciate that good singing. It's absolutely amazing that as much as we've been through and as much as He saw us through and brought us through, that we'd ever doubt Him. Amen. I don't care who you are and how spiritual you are. We all get to that place where we think God don't know what's going on. Eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows. He knows exactly where we are, just like the song says, and exactly what we need. You know, God hadn't always given me exactly what I want. Thank God. Amen. Somebody sung a song one time, thank God for unanswered prayers. Amen. Yeah, thank God. I prayed some stuff. Boy, I've backed up and said, Lord, I'm sure glad you didn't do that. You know, there'd be a lot less people living on this earth. Somebody will get that in just a minute. Amen. You better be glad God hadn't given you everything you want. God has given me everything I need. And I've noticed He's always given it to me when I need it. I was thinking in the funeral home, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter number 3. I was thinking in the funeral home today, and I'll just be honest with you, my heart is just tore out for that little family, and just a little bitty young mom and a little young dad, and boy, I'm thinking in my mind, and look at that casket and that little baby. It don't even look real. Looks like they put a baby doll in a little casket. It just don't look real, Brother Charles. And I thought, you know, I don't think I could do that. And we'd all say the same thing.
Amen.
The thing is, most of us hadn't had to. There's some here who has, who'd probably say the same thing beforehand. I don't think I could go through what that family's going through and put that little casket in the ground. But there's people here to testify tonight, Brother William and Miss Jennifer. We have families who, you know, what I'm saying is, we don't think God will do it, but when we need Him, He's always there. And even though the time might be tough, He walks us through it.
Yes, sir.
And He leads us through it. And He loves us through it. Amen. How to preach right there. Amen.
Amen.
Several weeks ago, I preached a two-part message on how relationships make a difference. Kind of our theme for this year is making a difference. If there's anything I desire for this church to do, that is to make a difference in the life of somebody. If our hope or our scope is something other than that, we've missed it by a mile. If our hope is to build a big building or to have nice, beautiful things or a lot of money in the bank. And you know, that's a lot of churches' mindset. They worry more about the bottom line and the budget and all that kind of stuff and salaries and all that. They worry more about that than they do the lives of people. And I'm afraid when we do that, we cease to become a church. Our goal, our main goal, everything else is a sideline from making a difference in the lives of people. I'll be honest with you, you may not have got saved at a church. I didn't. I got saved in the preacher's front yard. You may not have got saved in the church, but the church had a part of it. Somewhere along the way, the church had a part in you being born again, if you're saved. Amen? Some church somewhere made a difference in your life. I believe one of Brother Freddie's friends witnessed to him and led him to Christ first time he'd heard the gospel. And he wasn't at church, but you know what? That friend had been in church and brought what he had learned from the church and shared it with his friend. Amen. It was the bottom line that came from the church. That is our goal. That is our lot, is to make a difference. Listen, we have some people around here who are blessed to sing, blessed to play. And you know what? Our goal should not be to impress. I don't care who you are. You want to do a good job. I don't care who you are. I get done preaching. I love to hear, and I'm not asking for it, but you love to hear. Man, that was great. That was a blessing. I needed that. And we all have that. We're human, but that shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should be, if I could just help one person, was praying that this afternoon. I was looking over my notes and trying to get ready, and I thought, Lord, and I got this thing about New York weighing heavy on my mind, and I thought, God, out of 2,000 kids, if I can just make a difference in one's life, just one, brother, that's what I'm going for. I'm not going there to be the big shot preacher, and I'm not going there to sign Bibles, and I'm not going there to hang out with my other friends. I'm going there. My main goal is to make a difference in somebody's life. Jude 22 said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And we looked at the early church when we talked about relationships, and I don't know about you, but I learned a little something through that. And I hope we will through this. And I want to preach to you on this thought. We talked about relationships make a difference. Now listen to me carefully. Caring makes a difference. Caring makes a difference. Listen, this world doesn't care how much you know. Till they know how much you care. I know people who, I mean, brother, they teach in big colleges. They teach the Bible. They teach Greek. I mean, they are brains with legs. But they never go out of their way to help a living soul. I would say their knowledge is useless. Amen. I'm not against knowledge. Get all you can get until you get enough to where you think you're smarter than God, and then you've got too much. Amen. When you think you're smart enough to fix God's book, you've got too much knowledge. Amen. Because you've already surpassed the God of knowledge. When you can straighten God out, you've gone too far. You hadn't progressed, you've regressed. Amen. Amen. There are people who have all the knowledge in their head, but it's not in their heart. It's in their head, but it's not in our heart. Listen, I would rather, now I don't want this to come off the wrong way. I would rather you care about people and not be able to quote two verses of Scripture, but be able to take your Bible and show them where it's at. I don't mean that I don't want you to know Scripture. I said I'd rather you care. Little Christopher, he's our bus kid. That's his little brother laying up there in the funeral home. Little Christopher, I walked in, boy, he just run and grabbed me. Brother Dennis come in. I said, you know who that old man coming there is? He said, yeah. I said, you better run, tell him you love him. He took off and grabbed Brother Dennis. I'm glad somebody cared about that little boy. Amen. Boy, we need to learn to care. And if we pass that and we get to the point, Brother Jay Collins and I were talking about church up at the funeral home. And he said, you know, a lot of people, they don't want church where just anybody's welcome. If only a certain sect or a background or a financial setting is welcome, we don't care. We don't really care. If we only want the social elite, we don't care about them either. We care about what they have. Amen. They don't care about them people. They care about what they have. I'm a pastor. I know exactly how that feels when somebody walks in the door and somebody says, hey, that's a millionaire. That ain't never happened but once or twice. For some reason we don't attract millionaires. Amen. I got a joke for that, but it's ugly. Amen. I won't say it. I don't mean it's dirty. It's just not nice. Amen. But seriously, we don't draw that crowd. But as soon as they do, I'm like, oh, you know, there's something inside you. You want to impress them. They could pay the church off. Amen. And I understand where that comes from, but that shouldn't be what drives us. It shouldn't matter whether they pull up in a brand new Cadillac or Mercedes or where they crawl off one of them buses. Amen. Christopher's little grandmother told me a while ago at the funeral home, she said, you know what? I've supposed to have been on that bus for weeks now. She said, I've been promising Christopher I'd ride that bus with him. I said, ma'am, you'd be as welcome as anybody that ever got on a bus and came to our church. Amen. And I don't care how much money she got. She comes here, we're going to love them. We're going to love them like they are. We're going to love them where they are. And we're going to love them who they are. Doesn't matter. Amen. If we get past that thing of caring, boy, we've missed it. Look at Acts chapter number 3. I'm not going to try to two-part this, but it sure is heavy on my heart. The Bible said, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily in the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. He was begging, if you would. He was the guy at the exit ramp at I-20, we'll work for food, that kind of thing. He was begging for money. And I don't want to put him in that category, but basically the same thing. Me and Brother Stacy visited with a guy today, and before we left, he said, "Have you got $5? I need $5." I said, "Yeah, I got $5." He was asking alms. That's what alms is. Could you help me out? I'm in need. This guy asked Peter and John for a little love offering there. In verse number 4, the Bible said, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us. Look on us.'" I that never stood out to me till just a minute ago, sitting in that chair. Look at us. You know what he was saying? You would read that on the face value to think, "Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who you're talking to?" I don't think that was the mindset at all. I think it was more like this. "Hey, buddy, look on us. You want to look at my checking account? Look on us." In other words, and he answers that in the next question. He said, "Look on us," in verse number 4, "and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse number 6, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" I believe he meant what he said. I believe he is flat broke. He said, "But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." If I had some change, what he's saying, you could go down to Waffle House and get a cup of coffee. If I had a few dollars, you could go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal. Yeah. But I don't have either of those. But what I have, yeah. Woo! What I have, if you'll take it instead, you can rise up and walk, get you a job, and work, and provide for yourself every day you live. Hey, man, I think that's better than a change offering, don't you? Man, I might get happy. Verse 7, "And he took him by the hand," or took him by the right hand, "and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it, that it was he which sat at the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." I'm going to stop right there. Peter and John cared enough to stop by a man who had nothing, who needed something, and gave him more than he ever asked for. Are you listening? The guy's thoughts that day when they carried him and laid him, this guy's never walked a day in his life. From his mother's womb, he was lame. Never walked a day in his life. I can just see this poor fellow as daily they picked him up, carried him to that temple, Stacy, and laid him there at the door so every time the pompous religious people came through, he could hold up his little tin cup and say, "Alms, alms for the poor, alms," just asking for a little. You know what he is thinking? Maybe that morning, Brother Charles, maybe I'll get enough for supper. Maybe I'll get enough in my cup that I can buy a little supper tonight before I go to bed. Maybe I can get some bread and some water before I sleep tonight. Boy, maybe if I could just get 50 cents or 75. Boy, it'd be a good day if I got a dollar. Never in his heart did he imagine that he'd get carried that morning and walk away that afternoon. Wow. Caring makes a difference. Go to Philippians chapter number 2. Paul makes a big deal out of caring. Philippians chapter 2. Keep your Bibles out tonight. We'll look at just a few verses. Philippians chapter 2, and look with me at verse number 20. All right, back up to verse number 19. Say amen when you're there. It's right past Ephesians. Amen. Philippians 2 and chapter number 19. He said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded, in verse number 20, who will naturally care for your state. Paul said to the church in Philippi, I can't be there, but I'm going to send Timothy. Somebody who thinks like I think and loves like I love, and I'm going to find comfort in knowing that he is there to care for you. I told Ross, little Mason's daddy at the funeral home, and Jennifer, his mom, today, I said, I am so sorry that I have to leave. I am so sorry. I said, but I guarantee you, you will be in good hands with Brother Freddie and Brother Charles at that funeral tomorrow. You know what that little daddy told me? He said, I'm not worried about that one bit. And boy, I walked away from him, and I ain't trying to pump nobody up tonight, and he wouldn't like it if I did, but I walked away thinking, I'm not either. I'm not either. I am fully confident that I'll get on that plane tomorrow and go do what I got to do, and these guys step up and do what they got to do. I'm not worried one bit. I'm worried for him. I'm praying for him. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not worried that he's not up to the task, and I'm sure not worried that he don't care about that little family just like I do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what Paul was saying. I'm glad I got somebody. He was like that about Epaphroditus. I'm glad I got somebody that could care about somebody else. I can't be in every place at every moment, but I'm glad I've got somebody with me that's like-minded. Hey, I'm looking at a church tonight saying, let's get like-minded and let's care for and love those that can't care for and love themselves.
Amen.
Amen. Me and Brother Stacy's talking. He went with me today. There's a guy, I talked about him Sunday. That's why Stacy mentioned this. There's a guy in the nursing home with Sister Peggy. He's our age. Well, actually, we found out today he's older than us. But we went to school with him all through elementary school, all the way through high school. He has cerebral palsy. Brother Charles knows him. He came to church in our old building. But he's been in that nursing home, Brother Charles, for 7 years. 7 years. And he is big time into autographs and signatures. I am nobody from nowhere. But he wanted a T-shirt from Happy Valley with my signature on it. He wears a 2XL. I was going to steal one back there, and Brother couldn't find one, so I borrowed a hat. I was going to steal the shirt. I just borrowed the hat, amen, and I signed that hat. And we was talking, he knows Brother Johnny Cash. You know, Brother Johnny played with the Braves, and we was talking about that today. And he said, is there any way you could get one of Johnny's jerseys and have him sign it? And I thought, boy, that's a big order right there. I doubt it. The only one he's got's framed. And anyway, but me and Stacy was talking on the way home. Stacy said, we go get a jersey and just get him to sign it. I said, you know what would be cooler? If we could go check him out of there on Sunday. Bring him to church and let, if that means that much to him, let Johnny present it to him. Wouldn't it be something? Hey, man, we ain't got nothing to gain out of that. Be a blessing to somebody else. Man, that's been on my heart ever since we walked out of there today. Hey, we're going to get that done somehow or another. Amen. I called Chipper Jones, one of them guys, say, hey, dude, we need a jersey. Hey, or get Johnny to do it. He knows all them guys. Amen. Now listen, it don't always take a big offering to care. But by the way, while we're on the subject, we're going to care with a big offering Sunday morning. As your pastor, I made a, what do you call that? Executive decision. Sitting in that funeral home, I went with the family to make the arrangements the other afternoon. They wanted me to be there. Brother Jay Collins gave the price of the funeral, and the lady that the young mother worked for, she stepped out and talked to Brother Jay. I didn't know what she was telling him. But she was telling him, we'll pay $1,000. The little mama said she could scrape together $1,000. I sat there and listened to that for a minute. I said, okay, Lord, you ain't going to have to tell me twice. I walked in that office. I said, Brother Jay, put us down for $1,000. And we'll get $1,000 out of here Sunday morning or give them our morning offering. But what I'm trying to say is it doesn't always take a big offering just to care. Sometimes a prayer, a phone call, a letter, kneeling with somebody at an altar. I think that's what makes our church special. I preach in churches all the time. People come to the altar weeping all alone. I don't think it ought to be that way. I don't think we ought to know everybody's trouble. I don't think we ought to know everybody's burden, but we ought to care enough to help them share it and help them bear it. You don't got to know the situation to bear the burden. You can crawl up beside them and say, God, whatever it is they need, whatever help they need, God, I pray you'd hear their prayer. Amen. Amen. Caring makes a difference. Amen. I'm here tonight because caring makes a difference. Brother Jay, he's our mayor and owns the funeral home. We stand on the porch. The family was still in there with the doors closed. And Brother Jay, I don't even know if he knows my background or anything, but he put his arm around me and my wife standing there. He said, I'll tell you what you're doing, that bus ministry makes a difference. Ain't that what he said? What you doing, that bus ministry makes a difference. I said, Doc, what you don't know is it made a difference in my life, and I'm here because somebody cared enough to come out on a Saturday morning, knock on my door, and put me on one of them buses and bring me to the house of God.
Amen. Amen.
I want to make a difference because somebody made a difference in my life. Somebody ought to shout and holler hallelujah right there. Let me give you three thoughts and a few scriptures tonight. I want you to look, first of all, at the plight of the needy man. His situation that he was in, what he needed. You know, you deal with people and you pastor for 20 years, needs are hardly ever the same. I wish you could answer every one of them with a dollar bill. I wish that'd fix everything. That'd be easy if you could throw money at it and make it all right. But I'll be honest with you, the majority of the time, money won't fix it. Money won't fix a relationship. Oh, no. If money's dumped on it, generally, make it worse. Money won't fix that. Money won't fix a wayward teenager. Money won't fix an addiction. More money you got, more stuff you can buy. Amen. I wish money, well, you could just throw money at it and say, here, go fix it. It takes more. It takes more. I want you to look at the needs of this man. Look at verse number 2. Verse number 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily in the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Listen, it's sad, but it's true. But care always begins with need. Does that make sense? You can't say we care about people if you're not reaching people with needs. If that makes any sense. You can't say if you've got a church full of multimillionaires and they've got everything they need and nobody's got no problems. Well, that'd be the ideal church, wouldn't it? Nobody's having difficulty in their lives. That ain't the case. You're not going to pastor a church without pastoring needy people. And you're not going to attend and be a part of a church without attending and being a part of a church of needy people. And by the way, there's going to come a time, and it may be now, that you are one of those who are in some kind of need. And God's put you here, as the Bible said, in Esther, for such a time as this. I don't know the need of everybody. There's no way. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not the guy on the television who says, I see out there in TV land. No, that's a kook is what that is. That guy's a joke and a liar and ought to be shot. Amen. He don't have them powers. Amen. If he did, he wouldn't be on TV seeing deaf ears. He'd be reading lottery numbers. Can I get a witness? There's going to come a time when it's going to be you that has a need. There's times, Brother Freddie, when I preach messages, I have no idea why. No earthly idea why God give me the message. And it never fails when I think I'm preaching something that is absolutely unneedful, but God won't let me out of it. It never fails. Somebody say, preacher, that's exactly what I needed today. I've had people walk to the pulpit and say, Brother Eddie, is there any way we could talk to you after church? We need some help. Yes, I sure will. I get in the pulpit, preach the message, wait, shake hands, wait around on them, and finally catch up with them and say, hey, y'all need to see me? Not anymore. Not anymore. Hey, I don't have to know your need to meet your need. But I know a God who knows your need before I ever open that book and before I ever pray. And God says, I want you to go this direction or that direction. God, I don't understand why. God said, I don't ask you to understand. I ask you to obey. I'm glad sometimes I don't know. That'd drive you crazy. If I knew every problem of everybody, and I know some pastors, they think it's their job to know all that. Oh, yeah. I've got a pastor friend of mine. I see his face right now. I preach for him every year. Love him to death. But he is so, I don't know the word, so ingrained in his people's lives that it's almost like a literal dictator. He don't just run the church. He runs their houses. That's too much for me. I got one house with a quarter horse and a bird dog and a beautiful wife, and that's a quarter horse and a bird dog more than I can handle. What I'm saying, she's enough for me right there. She's looking at me, are you implying you handle me? I said I got too much, amen. I don't want to know your need, but I want to know my God. Amen. And I want to be able to hear his voice and follow his instruction that I might preach to meet your need. Amen. Amen. The plight, his problem. Care begins with a need. Here's what he needed. He needed strength to walk. He needed strength. The Bible says that his ankles and his legs were strengthened. He needed strength to walk. If there's anything this world needs, it's strength to walk. Amen. Remember when you walked according to this world? You remember that? Amen. You didn't have strength to walk godly. You didn't have strength to walk right. Hey, we are living in a sin-cursed world that does not have the strength to walk through the battles they got to walk through. Amen. I don't know if that little mom and dad's saved for sure. Without God, they can't walk through this alone.
That's right.
Amen. Boy, we're here to meet the need of people who need strength to walk. They used to sing a song in church years ago. I hadn't heard it in a long, long time. It says, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Y'all remember that? I can't even walk without him holding my hand. We've got a world of people, we look at them and we judge them and we say, bless God if I was their parent. Well, you ain't. You go to the mall, and I go to Burger King and get mad. I have to watch my flesh, man. I'm like, come here, you punk. I'll pull your pants up. Amen. They don't know how to walk. They don't have strength to walk. They don't know how to act. Some of you might get upset with some of our bus children around here sometimes. Man, we have to break up fights. We've had to call the law to church.
Amen.
I've been called everything but a white man.
Amen.
By a teenage girl this close to my face. And inside my heart I'm saying, she don't know, she don't know, she don't know. Have some grace, have some grace. Yeah, I need a whole lot of grace, amen.
Amen.
Man, they needed strength to walk. Go to Isaiah. I got to hurry, don't I? Isaiah, I need somebody to say, amen, preacher, you preach. Amen. Thank you, thank you. Y'all heard them. Go to Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. I want to show you the condition of the people we're after. Let's show you their need. Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse number 4. I'm in Isaiah chapter 4. I thought, man, that don't look right. Isaiah chapter 1, oh yes, verse number 4. Ah, sinful nation, are y'all there? A people laden with iniquity. That's sin, people. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. That's the condition of the people where we are. Look at verse number 5. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, is how he starts with verse number 7. That's where we're headed. Your city's burned with fire. They needed strength to walk. Go to Romans. Romans chapter number 5. Romans, keep Acts in your finger there if you would. Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 6. Now watch this. This will help you kind of condescend, come down off your high horse a little bit. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
For when we were yet without what?
Strength.
In due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
There was a time when you didn't have strength to walk either.
Right.
Amen. He needed strength to walk. Listen, not only that, he needed substance for living. Substance for living. Go to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25. I hadn't even looked at my watch. Are y'all doing okay?
Yes,
Matthew chapter number 25. I'll tell you, if we get a hold of this stuff and not just preach it and say amen to it, but make it a way of our lives, I guarantee you this place will be blessed beyond measure. Blessed beyond measure. God always smiled on people who loved the ones he loved and cared about the ones he loved. Matthew chapter number 25. This is one of my favorite places in the Bible. Verse number 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, unhungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Jesus told him, said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick and in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. They said, when did we do these things to you? The Lord's trying to tell them, you don't understand. When you're doing it for those that I died for, you're doing it for me. When you do it for little Christopher up there at that funeral home, you're doing it for me. When you're doing it for that little 21-year-old, 20-year-old mother who has no idea how to face this, how to get through this. Hey, she said when they wanted me to come to the funeral home, she said, I just don't know what to do. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't my heart's desire to go do it either. But I was glad God gave us strength enough and grace enough to go. And it sounds like I'm bragging on ourselves, and I'm honest, but God knows my heart, I ain't. But we got to realize as we reach these, we touching him. As we touch these little old boys and girls, we're touching him. As we feed the hungry, we're feeding him. As we clothe people out here, Miss Diane, in this clothes closet, we're clothing him. When we're paying somebody's light bill, we're turning his lights on. When we cut water on, we're putting his water on. I get tired of all these love offerings. Well, you're cutting him short.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
I believe sometimes the Lord sends them our way to see if we'll do what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
I tell you, that's sometimes the hardest job I have as a pastor, discernment.
Yes.
And it never fails. Boy, there'll be a character come through here. Boy, I need this. Can you help with this? Then the Lord will say, mm-mm. You say you turn people away? Mm-hmm. When I get there, used to, I couldn't figure it out. I'd give it to everybody that wanted it. They'd stop in here and get $20, go right down the street and fill their car up with Budweiser. They said they needed gas, but they didn't fill up the tank to fill up their back seat.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, the Lord's give us discernment. Boy, every now and then somebody will come by. I'm talking about a stranger. We have hard enough time taking care of our own people that needs help. But every now and then a stranger will come in. And the Lord will say, you better help that one.
Amen.
I sent him.
Yeah.
I want to be that innkeeper.
Amen.
I want to be that innkeeper. Here, I'm bringing him by to leave him with you for a while. I'm going to come back and get him. If there's anything left owing, I'll take care of it. I believe the Lord brings them by here. Drops them off for a little while. Whew. Says take care of it. When I come back, if there's anything lacking, I'll take care of it. Heaven's going to take care of it all. Amen. Amen. What a blessing.
Yes, sir. Mm.
He needed strength to walk. He needed substance for living. Psalms chapter 142. Psalms 142. Said he needed strength to walk. He needed substance for living. But he needed someone to care. He needed somebody to care. I'm going to read a verse to you. And I want you to see if it sounds familiar. Not even so much as scripture that you've read, but words that you've uttered. If you've ever found yourself in the place where the psalmist is. Psalms 142, look at verse number 4. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You ever been there? You ever been to the place where you just felt, boy, somebody just even cared? Well, we sing a song around here that says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Amen.
1 Peter, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And I'm glad to know that He's there always and He always cares. And I'm glad throughout my life He's put tangible people that I could see, touch, and feel in our lives to care.
Yeah.
When it seemed like no man cared for my soul. There's a world out there. There's teenagers out there piercing their bodies, cutting themselves with razor blades. Are you listening?
Amen.
That cutting thing, that's demonic.
Amen.
Goes all the way back to Scripture.
Yes,
you know what every scar is saying? Help.
Yeah. That's right.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And possibly, you say, well, that's ridiculous. Somebody does care. Not in their little mind, they don't. I hope when they find this place, they can leave saying, somebody really does care.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Somebody really does care. Little Christopher, he's up there at that funeral home right now, being Christopher.
Yes.
Bouncing off the walls. Brother Dennis calls him a ping pong ball. You hit it one time, there ain't no telling where it's going, when it's going to stop.
Amen.
I mean, he just playing, laughing, cutting up, and saying things that are just plumb off the wall about his little brother, and he don't know. But I guarantee you he knows one thing. There's a Brother Clint.
Amen.
There's a Miss Donna.
Amen.
There's a Brother Dennis.
Amen.
There's people here that love him.
Yeah.
And a Brother Jerry and a Miss Irene.
Amen.
It's made a difference in his life.
Amen.
One of these days that thing's going to get real to him.
Yeah,
right. He's going to remember. Yeah. Amen. The plight of the needy man. He needed strength to walk. He needed substance for living. He needed somebody to care. The pity of the caring men. The pity of the caring men. In verse number 4 of Acts chapter number 3, the Bible said that Peter, let me get to it, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. They had caring eyes to look at the man. They had caring eyes to look at the man. Brother Robbie talked a while ago about the woman at the well. The average Jew would not go out of their way where she lived, much less if they passed her on the street, they would turn their head and look the other way. They weren't even supposed to look on her. but Jesus did.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, before you can care for them, you got to see them. Amen. That's why all these rich people, they ease their conscience by sending their donation to them, oh, them stupid commercials.
Amen.
Of them suffering kittens. That chaps my hide worse than anything I've ever seen. Oh, Brother Eddie, don't you care? No! I don't want to make you mad, but no, I don't care how many cats are in a shelter. Care a little more about how many children are down there at Scottish Rite. Their little bodies burned up with cancer. I don't care about a cat that don't have a soul. If you've got a foo-foo and a fee-fee, God bless your heart. I'm not against you having a cat. I'm just saying, man, that don't appease me. Sending my money to take care of a sad-eyed puppy dog. They'll even go a little further. They'll show you a picture of a starving child. The little lady that played on All in the Family. What was her name?
Sally Struthers.
Sally Struthers. Oh, just pennies a day could feed a child. I'm not against, don't get me wrong, I'm not mean. I'm not against that. But it's got to be bigger than a bowl of soup.
Yeah. Amen.
That child needs strength to walk. He needs spiritual help. Yes, feed them. Yes, give them doctors and vaccinations and get them glasses if they need glasses and crutches if they can't walk. But by all means, give them Jesus Christ, who will not only make a difference on the outside, but will move on the inside of them and make a difference in their heart. But we got to care enough to see the need. The need's deeper than a pooched out belly and blowflies in their face. The need is Jesus Christ. And we have what they need. We would be the sorriest individuals on the face of the planet if we were hiding within these church walls with the cure for the AIDS virus. What we got quiet on me there? I know there's people who have it who should have got it. But there's babies born every day who never asked for it. We could go to Africa and literally save a nation. Would it be criminal if we had that answer and hid it in this pulpit? Set on it. I don't want to sound conspiracy theory, but I believe that's what our government's doing.
Amen.
Not with AIDS especially, but with a lot of stuff.
Amen.
But if they'd let the real truth out, it'd put some of them pharmaceuticals out of business.
Amen. Right?
Amen. Amen. I've had multitudes of people, not multitudes, but lots of people tell me they have a cure for cancer.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that's for true or not, but I've heard that. How much is one chemo treatment? Tens of thousands of dollars?
That's right.
It's criminal. And for us to hide the gospel and not care enough to see that that's the real need. It's not, what was that meth thing called? Meth summit? Is that what it was, Crystal? It's not a meth summit they need. It's Jesus Christ they need. I think that's what makes our RU ministry a little different than a lot of the secular addictions program. It's Jesus Christ. And if you don't get Him, you're not going to get help. We've got to see the real need. They had caring eyes to look at the man. They had caring hands to lift the man. They had caring hands. Just like with that Good Samaritan. You remember he walked down the road and he saw the guy and the good religious, the church crowd walked by. They didn't have time. They had to get to the buffet at the Golden Corral. And they walked right by the poor fella, turned and looked the other way. I'm going to pretend I didn't see that. But that man, the Bible said, that I just called him what he was, Good Samaritan guy. He looked down there and the Bible said he saw him. Peter and John saw him, but they took that thing a little bit further. They helped lift him up from where he was. Now we'll take people, and I say this all the time. I don't care who you are, how you are, what your background is. I don't care. I don't care what your ethnic group is, your race. I don't care if you're Chinese, Japanese. Nicolette, one of my little niece's friends, her little friend, their mom and dad are missionaries. And I'll get one of these reversed, but her mom's black and her dad's Japanese, something like that, or vice versa. And she says, they ask her what race she is. She says she's Blackanese. You know what? Every one of us is...
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Amen. Ain't none of you a pure-blooded nothing.
Yeah.
Don't look goofy at me. You got something in the woodpile, I promise you, bro. Somebody said, you need to do that ancestry. And I've shined my light up a lot of trees looking for critters at night. But that's one tree I ain't looking up. Amen. I don't want to know. Amen. I don't care who they are. If God makes them yellow with green polka dots, they're welcome here.
Amen.
Don't care what kind of lifestyle. When somebody left here one time said, Brother Eddie hates gays and lesbians. No, I don't. I love them. They don't die on me again. Y'all just keep dying. I don't hate them. I hate the sin. Just like any other sin. Y'all all right? We'll take them like they are. But we don't want to leave them like they are. Catching fish has two parts. Catching them ain't enough. They got to be cleaned. I thought as a young pastor it was my job to clean the fish. I thought it was my job to get in the pulpit and straighten everybody out, including Brother Charles. I'm just kidding, Doc. I'm still scared of you. I thought it was my job to fix everybody up. I found out it wasn't. I found out it was just my job to tell them. I don't care what condition they come, but I want them to leave in one better than the one they came in. Amen? I want them to leave in a condition better than we found them in. If they come in strung out on meth, if they ever leave here, I want them to leave clean. Amen? Oh, we've had little unwed pregnant mamas, and we've loved them. We've had people get out of jail on Saturday, be here on Sunday.
Amen.
And we've loved them. Are you listening? I could go through every scenario because there ain't one that pretty much we ain't had. That's been our past. God is my help. That's going to be our future. We're going to care enough to see them. When I was... negotiating with the church to buy this building, I sat in this office, which is now the ladies' bathroom. That was the pastor's office. I sat in that office with the pastor and two deacons. And the pastor looked at me and he said, tell us what's on your heart. What do you want? And I began to tell him about our school and our bus ministry and the children. And one of those deacons looked at me, Brother Robbie, I'll never forget it. Big old tears in his eyes. He said, oh, Pastor, we've prayed for years somebody would do something like that in this town. And I got mad. I didn't say anything. But I had just, they pried them. I got to be careful. They put that balance sheet out for everybody to see. I had just looked at one. You've been praying for somebody to do something? And you have so many millions of dollars? Let us hold that for a while. Let us be your investor. Amen. I got in my truck and left today, heard beating and clanging over here. I don't know what you was doing. You was up something. Beating and clanging. I said, Stacy, what's that noise? He said, they working on the bus. I promise you, we had $2 or $3 million in the bank, you wouldn't be working on no bus. Mm-mm. The public school drivers, Miss Vanessa, would ride by here and go. Well, I wish the county had something like that. I'm talking about chrome wheels, dual exhaust. I ain't lying, man. Lift kits, them suckers would be bad, boy. Air conditioning. Hey, them kids would ride in style on Sunday. They'd have to ride in the junk on Monday. They had eyes to care. Caring eyes to look. They had caring hands to lift. Lastly, let me run through this. I'm leaving a bunch out. We notice the plight of the needy man, his condition. The pity of those that are caring. Do you know that word pity is the same word in Jude 22? And if some have compassion, pity, compassion, caring, they go like this. Pity is not just feeling sorry for someone. It's an action word. When Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they had no shepherd and the sheep were scattered abroad. He had compassion on them. Compassion is an action word. It's a word that does something. It doesn't just feel something, it does something. I want you to notice lastly tonight the praise of the healed man. That's always the story when there's a need, and then that is backed up with somebody who sees a need and goes beyond and meets a need. The end is praise. Watch this. Verse number 8, Acts chapter number 3, and I'm done. The Bible said, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Watch this. Walking and leaping and praising Peter and John. This guy ain't growed up in church. He just grew up in front of it. I doubt he'd ever been invited inside. But he immediately stood up, walked, and leaped. You know what he was doing? Heel clickers all the way in that building. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Whippee! Yeah! I mean, man, what's the matter with that dude? Glory to God, might have been some words coming out of his mouth. Bless his holy name. Hey, he was praising and glorifying God. Something inside him said, Peter and John didn't do this. As somebody with a higher power. Hey, I'm glad when they get saved around here. Eddie White didn't do it. Charles Dyer and Freddie Young didn't do it. Hey, it was Jesus Christ. And when we care and we see the need and we meet the need, God gets the glory every single time. Amen. Amen. His, what in the world? Oh, it's a train. I thought, boy, if that's a Harley, I'd like to ride that one, boy. I heard the rumbling before I heard the whistle. I thought, wow. The praise of the healed man. His praise was a witness of God's power. Can I show you two verses? Y'all okay? Yes, sir. If you was at home, you'd be watching something you shouldn't. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 1. Watch this. Ephesians chapter number 1. Look with me at verse number 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. When Sister Maureen stands up and testifies, as she does every now and then, it's not Warren English who came to the jail that she's praising. Because he literally didn't do anything for her. I just told her somebody who could. His brother Stoney sits in church tonight. And Miss Ashley, I got it right that time, didn't I? When they testify, it's not Jason Crow delivered us. It's Jesus Christ. When we care for people, it's our Savior who gets the glory. And that ought to be our motive every single time. His praise was a witness of God's power. When Jason Crow stands and testifies, it's not look what Happy Valley did or look what some program did. It's look what Jesus Christ did. I told a fella in the barbershop one day. Well, I'm lying. It wasn't really a barbershop. It's a beauty shop, but. And I know men don't go to beauty shops, but my cousin cuts my hair for free. Amen? And a guy told me in there, he said, is it true Jason Crow goes to your church? I said, yep. Is it true he really preaches? I said, yeah. I mean really preaches. I said, yeah, really, really preaches. He said, I didn't think that's possible. I said, brother, with God, all things are possible. Somebody told me a while back about another person. Said, boy, you've done a great job with them. I ain't done nothing with nobody. If I mold your life, you're going to be jacked up. I can't build a doghouse. God knows my heart. I got one of them speed squares. I just built a little barn for my horse, and I draw a line across that thing like you're supposed to. I don't care what I do with that saw. It don't cut straight. I can't do it. I can't build people either. I'm not a people builder, but I'm a Christ preacher. He can take what I can't do and add to it what he can do. And he can make a difference in somebody's life. He can drag them out of the gutter and put them in the choir. I'll be honest with you. I love these little old kids growing up. I pray they never taste alcohol. I pray they never smoke. I pray they never use tobacco. I pray they never know what a meth high is. I pray they never know that. And there is a ton of them back yonder coming up. But I don't ever want it to be a day around here when we ain't a church full of sinners. Trophies of grace. Don't get me wrong. I know we're all sinners. Y'all know what I'm saying. I believe some of the most thankful people in the world are people that God's delivered out of a life of putrid, ugly sin.
Amen.
Because it gives us the ability to look at others and go, hey, I know where you've been.
Amen.
I can't fix you, but I have a Father.
Amen.
Who can? We ain't got a healing line, but we got a healer. His praise was a witness of God's power. Lastly, and I'm done, his praise were watched by the people. His praise were watched by the people.
Amen.
You look at it. Read it for yourself. First, I think it's 9 and 10. They looked at that guy and went, whoa.
Amen.
I've been seeing that guy lay out there for 30 years, man. He ain't never walked. And he ain't walking now. He's doing somersaults. Wow.
Amen.
You remember when Jesus calmed the storm in Mark chapter number 4? The last part of that scripture, the Bible said, the last part of chapter number 4, the Bible said those disciples saw it and were sore afraid. They saw what Jesus did and went, whoa. That little lady on the well that Brother Robbie was testifying back, she ran back to town and said, come see a man. The praise was heard by the, come see what God did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come see what God did. That fellow in Mark chapter 5, who was full of demons. in the tombs night and day, cutting himself with stones. After he got done with Jesus, they found him clothed and in his right mind.
Amen.
Jesus started to leave, and he said, "Man, I'm going with you." He said, "No, no, no. Go back down there and tell them what happened. Go tell them what happened."
Hallelujah.
I'm glad when the people hear, they know there's help for them.
Amen.
Now, I've said for years, and it wasn't my original thought. I stole it from Brother Gary Duty. But that night in Mark chapter number 4, when they were out on that sea, could it be that that demonic man in Mark chapter 5 looked out his little cave and saw Jesus calm that storm? When they landed on the shore in Mark chapter 5, the Bible said immediately there met him a man who had his dwelling among the tombs. You don't build graves on the beach. They'll wash out to sea.
Amen.
He saw them come and ran to meet him. He saw what he did out there. If he did that out there, I wonder if he could do something with this mess going on in here. I wonder how many people are looking today and saying, if God can do something with Jason Crow, if God done something with him, if God fixed him, he ain't really fixed. He's patched up pretty good. And if God did something with him, man, I can get some help. I ain't as bad as he was. I ain't as far out there as he was, or I'm not as far gone as she was. If God can do something for them, hey, brother, there's hope for me. I wonder how many cripples that day heard that story. Hey, there was people all through there heard about Jesus. Remember that woman with the issue of blood? Pushed through the crowd, touch the hem of his garment. Remember that? Oh, if I can just get to him. Oh, I've heard about him. If I can just get to him. It ain't if I can just get to Happy Valley. If I can just get to that preacher. No, if I can get to Jesus Christ. And if we'll give him the glory for everything he does around here, we'll make people desire him, not us. Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. Relationships make a difference. Caring makes a difference. I preached a message years ago on I dare you, I double dog dare you. The points in that message were this. I dare you to dare. Get out there and do something everybody else wants. Second point was I dare you to bear. Bear the burdens of others. Third point was I dare you to care. I dare you to care. It's addictive. It's addictive. When you fall in love with people and you start caring about people, and the Lord uses you to be a blessing and a help or lead somebody to the Lord in this altar, man, you'll find out there's no greater joy in all the world than meeting someone and saying, hey, I don't have what you need monetarily. I got what you need spiritually. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Prayer sheets are on the Lord's Supper table. Come pick you one up and we'll dismiss in altar prayer. You get through praying, you're dismissed. Remember, I'll have it on the prayer line tonight, but pray for Brother Freddie. Pray for me as I travel tomorrow. Just pray God to use us. Brother Tony, Shirley and I will be preaching that meeting together, so pray for both of us.